Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, dear friends, how appropriate it is for us to be meeting here in the city where Steve Jobs has made so many dramatic announcements. Today, I have the honor of unveiling for you something that, in Steve's words, is truly incredible. A successor to tech that I've been working on in secret for quite some time. All of us know that computers, I'm going to go over to the other side where I can use my right hand. Okay. All of us know that computers and the internet have been changing the world at a dizzying pace. Consequently, few, if any, of the assumptions that I made when I first got tech to work in 1978 are valid today. Day after day, I've been becoming more and more convinced that a totally different approach is now needed. Finally, I woke up one morning with the realization that I couldn't be happy unless I came up with a new system that rectifies my former mistakes. A system that leads to real progress. Therefore, I've decided to scrap Tech 78 and Tech 72 and to start over from scratch. Of course, the first thing that I wanted to fix was the most egregious design error that I've made in the early system. The old tech was based internally on binary arithmetic, although its user interface was entirely decimal. This is interfering. Yeah, let's get rid of this. Actually, Steve always rehearses better than I do. Okay, so anyway, internally binary arithmetic, but its user interface entirely decimal, so one could write, for example, if dim of 4/10 of a point equals 3999 of a point, then say yes, and the response would be yes. Now, furthermore, a construction like this, where you say demand zero is set equal to 4/10 of a point, which is, of course, the normal width of a rule, then you can multiply that by 10, and you can ask, what is 10 times 4/10 of a point? And you get the answer. How ridiculous can you get? Are mathematicians supposed to like this? Are computer scientists supposed to like this? Is anybody supposed to like this? By the way, I apologize for using handwritten overhead projector slides in this presentation instead of making PowerPoint points. Some unexpected problems arose with my computer at home, and I didn't want to risk security leaks by putting any of this material on someone else's machine. Okay, returning to my story, many of you recall that the old tech represented all units of measure, all dimensions, as integer multiples of a so-called scaled point. A scaled point was defined to be 1/6/5536 of a printer's point. And of course, a printer's point was defined to be 1/72.27 of an inch, as people have remarked today. How bizarre and anachronistic. Nobody remembers or cares about the old-fashioned units that printers used in the pre-internet era. The graphic designers of today all know that there are exactly 72 points to an inch, as specified by Adobe Systems. Why should tech insist on calling that now universal unit a big point? Indeed, what relevance will points of any kind be to anybody 10 years from now? Moreover, tech has never allowed dimensions to exceed max demand, which is 16383.9999948741210937.5, which is roughly 18.8921175 feet, or about 5.7583 meters. Today's graphic devices make posters and banners much, much larger than this, so tech cannot cope. At the other extreme, advances in nanotechnology mean that that tech's minimum non-zero dimension of one scaled point is far too large to accommodate 21st century applications. The scaled point is huge. It's more than two Fushimi Parazibis. And it's more than 53 Ångström units, so much too large. Okay, so answer then, none of that. The new system allows arbitrarily large or small units of all kinds, any well-defined unit. You can specify, for example, 3/7 of a yard as a rational, exact rational quantity. Or you can use irrational numbers like pi and square root of 2, so that circles and other objects can at last be rendered with perfect accuracy. My design from 32 years ago was heavily influenced by something that we called efficiency. I didn't understand the implications of Moore's law. I didn't realize in a few years I wouldn't care whether the art of computer programming could be typeset in a half a second rather than in 5 seconds. Examples of my tunnel vision abound in almost every page of the tech book. For example, I used backslashes and other strange characters to define what I called control sequences. Does any other system you know have control sequences? Of course not. With my old rules, people never knew whether or not a blank space really meant a blank space. Let's see. Okay. Therefore, the basic input language for my new system is entirely entirely a subset of XML, which is a widely accepted standard. However, XML is really only necessary at the lowest level. Most users won't need to be aware of it because we'll see in a moment that there are many, many other ways to provide input. Of course, the character set for my new system is Unicode. Unicode so that there's 100% support for all of the languages and meta-languages of the world. Automatic spelling correction and grammar correction are built in for every language, as well as automatic correction to page layout and page design. Different languages can freely be intermixed at will, always with appropriate ligatures, kerning, and hyphenation. The old tech was limited to left-to-right typesetting, some of its extensions now also handle right-to-left conventions of many languages that my original implementation didn't consider. But my new system has been designed from the very beginning to allow typesetting in any direction whatsoever, whether horizontal, vertical, or diagonal, or along any kind of curved lines. In fact, since 3D printing technology is now widespread, I decided from the beginning that there was no reason to limit my system to only 2 dimensions. 3 dimensions are now standard in the new system, In other words, we deal with voxels instead of mere pixels. I've also provided hooks to allow future extensions to four or more dimensions in case the string theorists prove to be right. From a virtual standpoint, the notion of hypertext already gives us the equivalent of unlimited dimensionality, and the production of hyperdocuments and web pages will be one of the chief thrusts of my new system. Text's old principles of boxes, glue, and penalties turn out to yield fantastic new ways to create multimedia documents, including animated videos and stereographic sound. Indeed, the input-output characteristics of my new system, they aren't confined at all to traditional forms of text. Audio input, video input, camera, input from cameras, they're seamlessly integrated, as well as sensor devices of all sorts. System uses your GPS coordinates intelligently if you're a mobile user, and it senses your motions and gestures with accelerometers and so on. Complete support of haptics is fully implemented. Instead of what you see is what you get, we now also have what you hear is what you get, and what you feel is what you get. There really is little difference between input and output in the new system because any input can be output. Conversely, any output from one hyperdocument can be input to another or to itself. Consider, for example, music. Music could be input from one or more MIDI devices to the system, and then you could output it to a conventional printed score or to another MIDI device or to a group of devices. Optionally segmented into individual parts or transposed or whatever you want. Going the other way, a printed score can be used as input to a synthesizer and so on. I'll say more about these dynamic aspects later. Okay, does my new system have macros? No. Macros are passé. They're so mid-20th century. Nowadays, no one really needs macros, which we all know can be difficult to write and even dangerous. Everything in the new system is menu-driven, somewhat in the style of Microsoft Word, but considerably enhanced. Experts have prepared recipes for everything you'll ever want to do, and these features keep growing and growing and getting better and better. The menus needn't appear on your computer screens in traditional pull-down or pop-up form. My system also responds to spoken commands and gestures. And it quickly learns your preferences so that it's customized to your own wishes, thereby making document preparation almost instantaneous. Now, you may have noticed that I've been referring a lot to my new system, but I haven't yet told you its name. I had to explain some of its characteristics before you were ready to fully understand the name. But now, I'm ready to reveal it, and more importantly, to show you its logo. Actually, I also have it here on a plate, which works wonderfully on overhead projectors. How does one properly pronounce this name? Listen carefully. E-Tex. In the first place, you'll notice that it should be said musically with tones, as in Mandarin. The first vowel is spoken with a dipping tone, E, where the pitch falls and then rises. The second vowel has a strictly rising tone, E, almost as if you're asking a question. In the second place, you'll notice that I've also rung a bell when saying the name. The bell is also part of the logo. E, tech. It reminds us that EE text is limited, is not limited by obsolete conventions, not hampered by the days when documents were only seen but not heard. However, the bell is optional, and it's omitted in documents that have no audio. Conversely, the logo is actually three-dimensional in 3D documents. In the third place, did you notice that I said text instead of text? I decided to go with the flow, since almost nobody outside of Greece has ever pronounced tech the way with the correct tech sound. Okay. Some of you may recall that I wrote the entire program for Tech 78 all by myself. You may be wondering whether I've done the same for EE Tech. Don't worry. This time around, I'm having the job done by people who know what they're doing. After many years, I've finally come to realize that my main strength lies in the ability to delegate work and to lead large projects rather than to go it alone. Programming has never really been my forte. For example, I've had to remove 1,289 bugs from Tech and 571 from Metaphon. So, end of that. I made a very fortunate discovery during the summer of 2006 when I visited the Academy of Sciences in Armenia. There I learned that a huge amount of highly sophisticated but classified defense work had been done secretly at a large institute in Yerevan during the Soviet era. I met many of the people who had participated in these activities, and I found that they were extraordinarily good programmers. Moreover, they were anxious to apply their skills to new domains. So they were a perfect match for my desire to make EE Tech a reality. I had long envied my colleagues at Stanford who had started up their own companies and gotten rich. Now it was my turn, and without much difficulty, I formed a clandestine group called Project Mariana, comprising more than 100 of the top programmers in the world. A few weeks ago, some of you apparently discovered our website portal at www.projectmariana.com. I've also seen blogs that wondered about, you can look it up after the talk. Let's see, what am I saying? Oh, okay. there have been blogs that commented, what is this Armenian letter M, Unicode 0544, doing on this page? But as far as I know, nobody outside of our group has yet been able to penetrate the firewall that we built into this site, nor to look at any of our planning documents or initial demos. Needless to say, I'm pleased at this success because the ability to create secure documents is another feature of EE Tech. Back to Project Mariana. Okay, so this is the website I showed you. Okay, furthermore, I believe that nobody else has realized until now that Mariana is an anagram of Armenian. Okay, after some, I'm sorry, I should have practiced this better. Okay, now I'm ready for this slide. Okay, so we're back talking about programming. And after some deliberation, our group decided that all of the code for EE Text should be written in Scheme. We also decided to guarantee success by using all of the silver bullets that have been discovered by software engineers during the past decades. Information hiding, agile software development, stream programming, use case modeling, debugging, look-ahead design, waterfall modeling, unit testing, refactoring, rapid prototyping, the whole shebang. We're going beyond ordinary object-oriented programming to aspect-oriented programming. We're not using any formal methods because everybody knows that formal methods are strictly academic. And we're abandoning the old notion of literate programming that I used when developing Tech 82 because documentation has proved to be too much of a pain. Well, okay, so now. Naturally, it's out of the question for a system like eText to be freely available and essentially in the public domain, as the old text system was. These talented programmers certainly deserve to be paid handsomely for their hard work. We have therefore devised some innovative pricing strategies so that I'm sure you will consider eText to be an unbeatable bargain, considering the enormous value of its new features. Here's the way it will work. Payments will be by monthly subscription, which will entitle you to unlimited use of eText on one or two of your own computers, or up to 40 hours times 16 gigabytes of computing in our cloud of approved service providers. During the first year, we're offering a one-month free introductory trial. Thereafter, your costs will depend on the quality of internet access that is available in your area. For example, California users would pay $99 per month. German users, 69 euros per month. But the monthly fee in Armenia will be only 1999 drams. Now, there are substantial discounts for seniors and for children under five, as well as educational discounts for students. Moreover, and this is the main innovation, you get a 10% discount for every new member that you can convince to join. lasting as long as you and that person are both enrolled in the plan. So thus, if you can sign up just 10 new subscribers, your access to eText will essentially be free. And if you bring in 11, you've got a lifetime, you've guaranteed a lifetime income. So the reason my new enterprise operates by monthly subscription instead of actually selling copies of the software is in part because the software is proprietary, but it's mainly because eText will change every day due to constant improvements and upgrades to the system. Once upon a time, I took great care to ensure that Tech 82 would be truly archival so that the results obtainable today would produce identical output 50 years from now. But that was manifestly foolish, let's face it. Who's going to care what I do today after even 5 years have elapsed, let alone 50? Life is too short to reread anything anymore in the internet age. Nothing over 30 months old is trustworthy or interesting. We're best off just enjoying each moment as it happened. Okay, so, daily improvements. Okay, so now eText will benefit the entire world's economy because it will lead to tens of thousands of new jobs. For example, independent developers will be able to design and sell plugins that are distributed online and available for only a few pennies per week. Any eText user will be able to sell his or her own documents online without leaving the eText system. Because eText includes facilities for ordering, billing, manufacturing, and shipping. You can, for instance, write a blog, and others can package as many chapters of that blog as they wish into a customized book that is nicely printed and bound. eTech will collect the appropriate payments from each customer, divide them fairly between you, the printer, and the binder. The finished book will then arrive promptly at the customer's residence. The operation will be something like the old Sears and Roebuck catalog, but now each item will be custom tailored to an extent never before possible or seen. More importantly, there will be a large network of certified eTech consultants at various grades of certification. eTech has no user manual in the old sense, of course, because the system changes daily. But it does have three varieties of online help. There's online help for dummies. There's an online help for wizards. And then there's personalized online help in which you get to chat one-on-one with a certified eTech helper. Your membership fee entitles you to 1 hour's worth of one-on-one help each month. Such helpers can also arrange to work part-time for the eTech organization out of their own homes and with flexible hours in order to supplement their other income. Okay, let me conclude by describing a few more of eTech's features. So that you can begin to get a glimpse of how truly revolutionary it is. I've already told you that dimensions can be specified as arbitrary multiples of standard units, but that's just a tiny part of the story. eText actually is able to do arbitrary symbolic calculations with polynomials and power series and matrices, partial differential equations, convex optimization, and so on, all integrated with graphics for automatic curve plotting and statistical charts, and of course together with maps and satellite photographs from all parts of the world. So together with eText synthesized voice output, you can do things like find the shortest route and navigate your car. All as part of an eTech hyperdocument. If you're a professor like me, you can write math texts in which the formulas are changeable by each individual reader who can evaluate them and plot their graphs interactively. Incidentally, I've changed math mode so that formulas must now be specified unambiguously in such a way that they can be evaluated as well as printed. Think MathML. This makes the formulas longer and more difficult to type, but that's a small price to pay for the added functionality. The hyper documents of eTech can have any number of users who can interact with each other and render images of themselves as avatars. This capability goes beyond the traditional kinds of virtual reality that are offered by systems such as Second Life, not only because of eText's haptics, but also because eText uses hyperbolic geometry. In hyperbolic geometry, exponentially many avatars can be within a bounded distance of each other. Such interactive documents obviously enable video conferencing as a simple special case. I mentioned earlier that eTech can receive input from many different, all kinds of different sources, like news feeds, webcams, traffic sensors, weather sensors, heart monitors, seismographs, astronomical observations, you name it. All of these can be captured, mixed, and/or converted to other forms, such as audio or video or both. World-class tools are provided for photo retouching and image processing. character and face recognition, speech recognition. Did I say computer-aided design? You know, there's speech recognition, face recognition. Sophisticated filters for all sorts of data, including, for example, audio tracks and email. You see, output then can be automatically formatted for laser cutters, embroidery machines, 3D printers, milling machines, and other CNC devices, and shipped directly to consumers, as mentioned earlier. Okay, so one of our early plugins will feature an interactive cookbook that interfaces directly to your kitchen stove, fat oven, pantry, and refrigerator, so that you can prepare meals automatically with the ingredients that you already have on hand, and or replenish your supplies by online ordering. Okay, so eTech naturally incorporates also sensitive facilities for social networking. You can easily read the hyperdocuments prepared by others, and it's even easier to send and receive tweets. Your tweets needn't be limited to 140 characters of Unicode. The actual limit is a parameter. For example, you can set things up so that you receive only tweets of 50 characters or less. With eTex, your entire life can be encapsulated into one dynamic hyperdocument downloadable by anybody you designate. Well, I had intended to give you a live demonstration of eTex today, instead of merely just talking about its features. Indeed, eTex was supposed to have provided all of my slides for this lecture. because, of course, the illustrations for a technical talk are among the simplest of all documents to create. Unfortunately, however, that's turned out to be impossible because of hardware glitches and breakdowns in communication that I had no way to anticipate. We can well imagine how difficult it has been to get all of the pieces of eTex to work together. But my coworkers assure me that the system is almost ready for its first major release, and we plan a worldwide press conference as soon as eTech is officially launched, hopefully next month. Well, I've got to stop now. I can't tell you anymore until our patent applications have all been filed. But I'm sure that once you've tried eTech, you'll immediately want to become a charter member of eTug. Off to the banquet. Okay, but remember that it's all in, the lawyers have asked me not to answer any.
What is the current version number of eTech?
You have to wait for our press conference. I'm sorry. The Potter ZB units is one of the standard units in the system.